Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Ace Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
I'm sorry I'm nasally this week.
She is very nasally, but she's here. We have a four-man cast for the first time on Nerd Up in weeks. And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Yeah, I think we went from a couple of weeks ago, we had a two-man cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Though, according to the internet, best
oh my God
of Podzilla 1985 ever. Ace and I just knocked it out of the park.
You were the worst humans.
Sounds like we were the best.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from the internet.
From Zane.
The internet.
That's all that matters.
You're going to tell me Zane's opinion doesn't matter?
No, it does.
It's
I'm
not important?
Saying,
wow. Geez. Jesse, what's on the docket for tonight?
He listens to the pre-show. He knows how I feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
That right, Johnny so guy, though.
Netflix has officially canceled Punisher and Jessica Jones, to the surprise of not most people. Apparently, there were a couple of people that were surprised about it. One, Marshall Eminem Mathers. Wait, that's not his real name.
Yeah, Marshall Mathers.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Hold on, that didn't sound Eminem's right. Not his like Christian middle name, but yeah, you got it.
No, yeah, you do the quotes around like for the nickname in the middle. Like that's how you.
Yeah,
do
yeah
that.
You got it. Yeah, no, you're fine. But I'm just saying.
Anyway, he tweeted about it like Netflix is messing up for canceling Punisher, which cracked me up. Then John Bernthal, the guy that plays the Punisher, tweeted back like, "Thanks for watching, man.
You're
like,
the best.
You're the best." And he like put the skull in the tweet like. It made me happy.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if like Eminem actually watched season 2 of Punisher yet, because
I mean, I feel like he would enjoy it.
Yeah,
he's going to see it and tweet it and just be like, this was a big steaming pile of word I can't say on this show.
He just really liked he just really, really liked the first season.
And then John Barrett was like, yeah, I agree, man. Thanks for watching.
Season 2 could have been so good.
Yeah, and it just wasn't. Like, I'm real bummed that I didn't enjoy that. By the way, Jessica Jones season 3 is still coming, and I'm still really, really excited about that. Also, like the number of people, and I Asa pointed out, like, and he's right, the number of people that think that Netflix is responsible for the cancellation of these shows,
no, nope.
You're stupid,
blows my mind a little bit. But then Asa pointed out, like, every single news article talks about like Netflix is canceling.
Yeah, them. The headline of every single one of those stories that you've seen is Netflix cancels.
So
yeah. Marvel
because,
property
yes,
here.
They are canceling it, but there are reasons.
Right. Yeah. Which, granted, we still don't know what they are. We, you know, it's just,
like we're 99.998% certain
it's
that
Disney.
It's Disney.
Disney Fox deal, and now that they're starting their streaming service, that
they don't want to play with Netflix anymore. Because why would they? Because that was the original plan. Like Disney was just going to use Netflix's platform for all of their stuff, which is why we still get like you know the most recent Disney movies on Netflix and the Marvel Netflix series.
Which isn't and didn't they say like Infinity War is going to be the last MCU movie?
Yes,
to go on Netflix.
I believe that is correct. Or well, no, it wasn't Infinity War. It was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man, yeah, okay, yeah, because it's on there already.
Yes,
that's right. Yep.
Oh crap! I forgot to bring Ant-Man for you.
That's fine.
I'll remember it one day. Anyway. Hopefully before they take Ant-Man and
I'll
Wasp
remind
on
you on Thursday.
That's a good plan. Disney is almost certainly responsible for this cancellation.
Yeah.
And like Disney is I don't know how exactly they've managed to like make the media think that it's Netflix's fault, but it's brilliant marketing on their part because like Netflix has taken a whole lot of heat for canceling these shows, and they haven't, I guess good on them, they haven't like just publicized like you realize that it was Disney, right? Like Disney took their toys away. They didn't want to play with us anymore.
They said, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, no, they took
Mom's not making me share with you anymore.
They got picked last for basketball, so they just took their ball and went home.
That's why I always pick the kid with the ball first.
Right.
Keep him happy.
Otherwise he'll leave and he'll take his ball with him.
And to be fair, I feel like Disney understood, like now that they have figured out like, oh, well, everybody has a streaming service. Who are we? Oh, they'll pay for ours. There's no reason to share.
And they write.
Yeah.
And again.
So like, I can't really, like, yeah, it sucks that there's going to be yet another streaming service thing that I'm going to have to like maintain a password for.
Mm-hmm.
But. Like, I get it.
Yeah, and, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand, like, why Disney's made this move, and, like, it makes sense and everything. It's just, like, the fact that Netflix is the one taking the heat for it is what bugs me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
that's
it's not,
fair.
Yeah, it's not Netflix's fault that Disney doesn't want to play, like, doesn't want to share their toys. Like, yeah, anyway. Please stop bashing Netflix for canceling these shows, guys.
Like, bash them for all of the other shows that they take off.
Right, like the other shows, they lose their
like
rights to.
Like removing Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
which again,
oh,
those
that
are
means
all
Cody will never see it now.
They know,
but again, like those are all just like all those Fox shows, like American Dad and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yep. stuff like that. That's all because Fox holds a stake in Hulu.
Yeah.
So why would we?
Why would you share?
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, all those other shows and movies and studios. Like, oh well, we could just have this. We could do our own one.
Though now that NBC has Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that might hit Netflix again.
That would be nice. That would I haven't be seen any nice. Of the new season.
Oh, it's so good. I've been really enjoying it. But anyway, yeah, Netflix is not responsible for this. Please don't. You can give them crap about their price hikes. You can give them crap about their original programming. But, like, this is not Netflix's
this
fault.
This one's out of their hands, yeah.
Just go watch Umbrella Academy and enjoy that. Because that show is pretty solid. Like, I actually really enjoy that. All right. Scott Lobdell is working on an Odin movie. This is the guy that brought us Happy Death Day. Odin is a comic book, like this specific version of Odin anyway. Comic book about a dog named Odin who goes on a revenge killing spree against the people that killed his owner. So basically think of it like a reverse John Wick.
That's so weird.
Right?
Sounds awesome. Not going to lie.
Especially because when you say Odin movie, I'm like, okay, so like Thor prequel?
Right. Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, no, I need to really specify.
I mean, if they got Anthony Hopkins, that would be pretty cool. What this is essentially it's just Dexter, but a dog.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, that poor kitty.
That poor kitty.
But it gets superpowers, so it's fine.
It's angry superpowers.
So angry superpowers.
Dexter is the Red Lantern cat from DC Comics, for those that are unaware. And his backstory
is
fairly
heartbreaking.
Tragic.
Heartbreaking.
That poor old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Dexter. He gets so angry about his owner being killed that he is granted a Red Lantern ring.
Wow.
That he then uses to murder the people who killed the woman who saved him from the streets.
Yep.
Huh.
Because it was like basically a feral cat that then like is totally abused by everything and everyone, is eventually brought in and loved for the first time, and then that lady's brutally murdered.
Oh.
And then Dexter
brutally murders them in return.
Poor
gets
kitty.
Gets a Red Lantern ring.
And then becomes Atrocitus' sidekick in Injustice 2.
Yep.
Aww.
Yeah, no, he just goes and chills with Atrocitus, and Atrocitus is like, use an angry kitty cat.
I like you.
Here you go. Become best friends.
And then they go on space adventures. Mm-hmm. Murdering people.
I want a deadly kitty to go on space adventures with me, as long as we're cool.
Right, yeah, you got to be cool with the kitty.
Because it will murder you in your sleep otherwise.
No, so Dexter would do it while your eyes are raw. He would make you watch.
Does Odin, is it like any sort of supernatural or like superpowered thing, or is it just a dog that goes around like mauling people?
I do not know. I have to believe that it's some kind of supernatural stuff or something like that. I don't think it's going to be like Cujo.
Because if it is like John Wick, then it's just going straight for the throat.
That's fair.
Yeah,
just throat chomps for everybody.
So yeah, no, I don't know much about the plot line other than that, so I don't know if there's any magic or anything.
Is it going
like
to be
that
in the John Wick universe? And we get that epic team-up movie?
Yes, John please. Wick and the killer dog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
John Wick and Odin, like he has a name.
They try to kill Odin, but Odin's like, joke's on you.
Have you met my buddy John? Try killing me, see what happens.
All right. So since we're talking about John Wick, we'll go ahead and talk about Kingsman for a second. don't look at me like that, Dalton. Kingsman prequel got pushed back to 2020. Then Matthew Vaughn also confirmed that Kingsman 3 is happening after the prequel, should be hitting in 2021. Which I'm a little bummed that it's not hitting this year.
You're just going to have to rewatch the other two until then.
I have several times. I've been trying to show those movies to as many people as I possibly can. All right, Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, and I've succeeded
every time. Want to watch Kingsman? Hell yeah, I want to watch Kingsman. Why would I not want to watch Kingsman?
I'm not gonna lie, I almost put it on the other day when I was browsing Hulu. So.
I was
have
on.
You watched
I was,
it before.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Every time I'm at Best Buy, I'll see the two movie collection for like $30, and I'm like, that's a hell of a deal every time.
And I don't remember which scene exactly sold Dalton on the first one.
Elton John. It was like the first time Elton John was.
No, that was in the sequel.
Oh,
yeah, that sold him in the sequel for sure.
Mark Hamill was in the first one.
Mm. Yeah, very briefly.
Yeah.
He didn't make it. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. It happens towards the beginning of the movie. But anyway, no. Like towards the end of the movie, the fireworks display. I remember like just the grin on Dalton's face during that entire scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a grin during my match with Justin. Jerk.
He was so happy just watching the fireworks display. It was funny. Anyway, so yeah, no, I'm a little bummed they got pushed back, but whatever. As long as it's a good movie, I'll be all right.
It'll be good. They take care, they take care of that universe.
They do. Godzilla vs. Kong moves up to March 2020. So we're getting that a little bit sooner. Did I finally watch Kong Skull Island, the one that this was going to be based on? I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it quite a bit.
The new, that the Godzilla King of Monsters hasn't come out yet, has
no.
it?
Okay. No.
Boy, I'm excited for that movie,
yes.
though. That looks so good.
It does.
So good. Anyway. All right, so Lindsay's going to have to help me with this one because I don't know anything about this one. The Storyteller. Apparently it is getting reimagined by Neil Gaiman and the Jim Henson Company.
Yeah. So Storyteller was basically, it was like late 80s, early 90s. I remember being on like Sundays on like PBS, WQLN, like public broadcasting type stuff. And it's just basically a Henson like fairy tale type deal. You have the storyteller lives in his house with his dog, and each episode he tells a different story. And the dog is basically like us, like asking questions and being the listener to it.
Well, that's neat.
And the same thing, it's all different like puppets and stuff through it. The ones I remember the most, there was a pirate that ends up making a deal with like demons, and like I just remember him in a cave playing cards with all these little like tiny skinny red devils that were just really cool looking. And then there's one of a kid that is helping an inventor of some sorts, and they end up having this weird like dragon head thing that like grants wishes. It's definitely a little off the wall.
That's kind of cool though.
I think it was only 6 to 8 episodes originally, and at one point in time it was on Netflix, but it's been off of it for a long time.
Fair enough.
But it's worth hunting down on YouTube just as something different to see.
So basically what we're going to get here is a TV show with a dude telling stories written by Neil Gaiman with Muppets.
Yes.
Sounds cool.
I'm down.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yep.
I don't even care if they're for
and
little
kids. It very much had more of a Labyrinth Dark Crystal feel to it. It's a little more darker, gritty, not so much like bright, vibrant colors of our classic Muppet, Sesame Street, Fraggle Rock.
And Neil, that's Neil Gaiman's like bread and
niche.
Butter right there. Like that's like he's all about the dark and gritty stories. I'm down. I'm sold. All right. Thank you, Lindsay, for the information.
I knew
there.
Something this week.
A lot of detail about it. I had because I,
oh, no,
I saw
I,
this.
I loved the Storyteller, and I had forgotten about it for the longest time until it had popped back up on like Netflix and stuff that way. And I'm pretty sure I binged watched it all in like a day.
Nice. You know, this was one of those things like I saw Jim Henson come. I saw Neil Gaiman first. I was like, ooh, something new from Neil Gaiman. I like to look into this. And then I was like, wait, I think Lindsay's going to be. And then I saw Jim Henson come.
And
I was like,
and
I bet Lindsay knows about
Brian
this.
I think Brian Henson did the voice of the dog that was in it. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on it. But I'm vaguely remembering that.
Fair enough. I'll take your word on it. Okay, next little bit of news here. So WB has set the date for Space Jam 2. For summer 2021.
I still can't take this seriously.
Yeah, LeBron James going to be in Space Jam 2.
It'll be fine.
So now he just needs like a golf career, and then he needs to play AAA baseball.
I was going
to
say baseball career first, and then just golf as a hobby. No, he never played golf professionally.
I mean, gambling
is a hobby. No, they're just going to do basketball and shoe production.
he just really, really wants to be Jordan so badly.
Honestly, like, it'll be fine, probably, maybe, I don't know.
Or it'll be a dumpster fire. Like,
it doesn't inspire confidence that it legitimately, like, and maybe this was a choice because, like, they're trying to, like, do it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it legitimately looked just like the poster for the first movie.
That's why I thought someone just photoshopped it.
With him photoshopped in. And maybe that's the aesthetic they're going for because it's like, hey, this is, that this Space Jam is the most 90s thing you can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty true.
Now, like if they had a Surge sponsorship, like that would just be the
Surge is back. Like that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. So they might just be trying to capture that 90s aesthetic of just like the low quality grainy images.
Fair enough.
And using what looks to be just the same models for Bugs and Lola in the poster too.
Now, I will say if they have the current voice casts for the Looney Tunes characters, I'll give them props because they're all kind of on their A game right now. The new style of Looney Tunes I'm still not a big fan of, but the voices are dead on.
So like animation style? Or
yeah, the animation style of current Looney Tunes is a little weird. It's not terrible, but it's just odd to me.
I didn't know they were doing
it. But it's been going on for a while, but the voice actors and actresses that they've got covering them are pretty on par with Mel Blanc's original voices.
Just love that they have to have like multiple voice actors and actresses
when it used
to cover
to be
one man.
Guy. Yeah, yeah, no, that guy was amazing.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but at the same time, that was a once in a multiple lifetimes.
Yes. And it was also at a time where just a handful of people did all those jobs anyways.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, I mean, you go back to a lot of those old cartoons. Like, whenever you go to a convention, you'll see, like, six people, and they're like, oh, they voiced my childhood.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the same. It's that there's a post that ends up on Reddit every 6 months or so of, like, the 10 voice actors that have voiced everything. Mm-hmm. And it's always like, it's like Phil Lamar and Billy West and just all of those people.
Jim Cummings.
Tara Strong, Jim Cummings, yeah.
Yep.
Maurice LaMarche.
I love Maurice.
He was we saw him at ICC. I've told this story numerous times before, so I'm not going to go into detail of it. But he was one of my favorite parts of that convention, like getting to see Maurice LaMarche in a couple of panels. Mm-hmm. Especially like when he... Before the panel started, like some girl in like towards the front row sneezed.
Uh-huh. And really
Maurice
loud.
LaMarche really... Like
it was silenced the room.
Yeah, like it was a crazy loud sneeze. And Maurice LaMarche... pokes his head out from the back and gives us like bless you, like Morbo says bless you, like in the Morbo voice, and then just ducks back. Oh my god! At that point, I was like, this panel is gonna be awesome.
I just love his and Rob Paulsen's banter.
Oh, like, Rob Paulsen was the one that wasn't there, right? Like he was the one turtle that wasn't there. Asa,
probably. I think so.
Yeah, because he's the one that's doing Raphael now, right?
No.
Or Michelangelo
now? No, he's
Donatello.
Donatello now.
He was originally Raph and Donnie, and then he did ADR, and
But
because the original voice of Leo was there.
Yes,
and
Clark.
Yes.
Yeah, all of the other three were there.
Yeah, the other three
but yeah, he
there.
Couldn't make it because he was like he had like bronchitis and was ordered by doctors to like not speak for a week.
Yeah, yeah. His podcast got delayed quite a bit for a little while there.
So yeah, like he would have been on that panel too, which would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got the other three turtles in it found out that
the one guy's is just his speaking voice.
Yeah.
Like the original Donatello, that's basically just his voice.
And the guys that voice Donatello, Michelangelo also do Bebop and Rocksteady. Which cracked me up. I did not know that until they started doing those voices at the panel. I was like, wait a minute.
What did I learn?
Just because I'm a petty, petty human being, it made me really happy that the guy who voiced Leonardo didn't really like voicing Leonardo. just for the fact that Leonardo was the lamest of the four.
Uh-huh.
Because Leonardo was the lamest of the four. Don't at me.
Donatello really was.
He kind of got stuck with a lot of those roles, though.
Come on, guys, we can do it.
Like, every time that he's on one of the podcasts, I'm like, but you were on Robotech. You were Max. You never bring up Robotech. You make me sad.
You only talk about Leo.
The funny part is, though, like, I can pick him out as, like, random characters on, like, My Little Ponies and Smurfs and, like, stupid stuff like that because I've just gotten to that point. I hear voices enough time that I'm like, oh, you were random character A and you were random elf B.
I do that with a lot of characters, mostly the ones that just get used a whole lot. Like, I start recognizing them pretty. Like, I can pick Chris Sabat out of anything. But he does have a pretty distinct voice. That's not like a super achievement. Except I didn't know he voiced Vegeta until that panel.
Huh.
Yeah, Chris Sabat is the voice of Piccolo, obviously, but also Vegeta. Because they're like the voices of Goku and Vegeta. I'm like, wait, that's the voice of Piccolo.
Think of all the fun facts that we'll be able to cover when we start up Dragon Pod Z.
Oh my god.
Dragon.
Talk
all right, on that note, Jay and Silent Bob. Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot. Kevin Smith says the reboot's going to premiere this fall. Way earlier than we thought it was going to happen.
Is that good or bad?
See, that's the thing, is like how little attention this movie has gotten.
Yeah.
Because normally this is the type of thing that we like, we have a release date for Clerks or Clerks 3. God, I wish.
If only.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
We have a release date for the new Jay and Silent Bob movie. I would expect that to be like 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
Granted, this is probably a movie.
Boy, that's a mouthful.
This is probably a movie that's not going to require a whole lot of CG and a lot of post production type work. Mm. So,
if everyone was on board and their schedules were open, they may have just been cranking
it out. Yeah.
And if Randall wasn't just a little, nope, not going down it.
I want Clerks 3.
So, but it's, I, I don't know. I'm happy for. I like. I really hope that it's good. It's Kevin Smith and it's Jay and Silent Bob, so I don't think Kevin Smith is not someone who will just like crap out a movie because he feels like he has to or like he has any obligation to.
Right. He's also very protective of Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, especially those like especially that franchise in particular. So, I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm of course going to see it because I do enjoy Jay and Silent Bob, but my favorite thing is like my favorite franchise of his is Clerks.
Yeah.
So,
which is fair. No, that's a phenomenal franchise.
We say franchise, it's two movies.
But well, he had a cartoon series.
Yeah.
Sure did, Meg.
But he's made it. All right, so we say franchise because he's literally made an entire living for himself, his wife, and his child off of two movies.
Well, I mean, no.
He's had other movies that are pretty successful.
He's had a lot of other movies that are also like just as cult classics. And
yeah, but like those are the two.
Even Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back has a pretty intense following.
I still have a soft spot for Mallrats.
Mallrats. Oh,
yeah, no. Yeah, no, he's done amazing movies, but like it's that movie, like that is the series that like has made him so much money.
Well, yeah, I mean, Clerks was his first one.
Yeah, and then Clerks 2 also kind of blew up.
Yeah, and that was awesome. That was an awesome movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, really liked
Clerks
2.
Were you with us
too.
When we saw it in the theaters and the old couple stayed for about a half hour and then walked out?
I want to say I remember that happening, but I don't know because I didn't know you guys when that came out in theaters.
Okay.
Because that
must
came
have been
out,
like just before it then.
Because that came out in theaters while I was in high school.
I guess Bob was with us then.
That was almost certain. Because
I still
case.
Hit Audra with the "There's only one return, and it ain't of the king."
I think I made a nerd throw up.
God. Oh.
And then it was really
Frodo.
Funny.
Nope. Can't finish that line.
Yeah, cannot talk about that. I just know we were sitting in the theater and we see this old couple come in and sit down and we're like, do they know what they're watching? And like, sure enough, within the first half hour, they're walking back down the steps and leaving.
It's
like,
about a convenience store. This is going to be great, Gladys.
Nope.
Never go. Right. No, I can't do that line either. Nope.
You can't do any of the lines.
So yeah, we'll get away from Kevin Smith. Now Ezra Miller, he's the guy that's gonna play Flash maybe someday in a Flash movie that might happen. So he was
you
in
blinked,
an interview.
It went past already. It's not gonna happen. Sorry.
So he's in an interview and he's talking about all the delays and everything and about how apparently they are still actively working on the movie. They just can't find a script that they're particularly happy with. They want this to be a gift to fans. So I got a quote from that article that I wanted to read for you guys because I find this interesting. We're talking about sparking a whole new universe, which is, it's not just the DC multiverse, it's also the Speedster multiverse. And the Speedsters are the ones who connect all the disparate pieces of it. Because Marvel is just a universe. It's just one world and all the same characters in it. DC is a multiverse. All these different stories with different realities, different characters and versions of characters, and the Speedsters are the ones who move through it all. They're like the connecting bridge between all... That's not the right word he meant for.
You okay there?
Collaged parts.
Boy, Endgame's gonna make him look stupid.
I just in general, like, you're talking to comic book fans because this is on a comic book podcast. Like, you realize that DC only has 52 universes and we only talk about two of them,
right?
Marvel's the one with the infinite multiverse
because the other ones are all the really jokey, gimmicky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, now there's 53.
Oh, yeah. No, they opened up a whole bunch more beyond that because they broke the wall. You see,
walls don't work. That's all I wanted was just to get that out of you.
It works so well.
He wants Speedsters to be important, and I get it.
Because it would make him so much money if they were important.
Yeah, if everyone felt that way, but no one cares. Like,
especially, like, we already have Grant Gustin as the Flash.
Right, who's a fantastic... Like, I haven't seen any of the new season.
I saw the first three episodes. They were great. And then I got behind, and they took off the last episode. And now I'm waiting for Netflix.
Or maybe just the DC streaming service.
Oh,
also,
no.
Sidebar, apparently Doom Patrol is phenomenal.
No.
And I'm curious about it. Anyway.
Dalton, I need that login info.
I thought you did the free month.
I did. It's almost over.
Oh, well... sounds like she went to daddy sooner.
You're the one that was trying to give it away.
I was desperate for it. And then he like
now he's withholding.
Yeah. Now that that's about to dry up, I'm like, no.
I don't know.
Get that login info later.
Yeah, I kind of was hoping that his quote would just be like, "Man, I don't know." Like,
no, instead
I just want to make a movie.
Instead, he's dropping what could be big hints about us doing like a Flashpoint, or which I guess was one of the original plans, and that might, you know, give us the new Batman and all this stuff, and tie all these fire of a universe that DC's building together.
Because that wouldn't surprise me if they tried to like, okay, well now we've lost Affleck, we might be losing Cavill. We're rebooting Suicide Squad, like all of that kind of throwing stuff into disarray. Because
they realize something doesn't work, so now they have to do it again.
So now they're going to try to like retool the Flash movie to be the thing that like, oh, well, now these are all in different DC multiverses, and it's the worlds of DC. So then we can, all right, we have our new Batman, we have our new Superman, we're keeping Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot, and then we can bring them in.
We'll keep what works and get rid of everything else.
Yes.
You know, and like DC's been doing that for years. Like they use the speedsters as their scapegoats for like rewriting things.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it so many times now where the Flash is just like, all right, well, we need the Flash to screw up royally because we need Batman to have less drama in his life. Or we need to figure out how to make Superman more interesting, so the Flash is going to rewrite part of his origin and
or there'll be just this catastrophic event where we kill the one and just bring in a new one.
Yeah.
Who's also already been here forever. He just wanted to be low-key about it. Like, because, oh, they already got me. I'm good. You know, chill on a farm in Kansas.
Because shrug emoji, like DC's.
Who died? Uh-oh.
Takes off his coat like Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of a game. God, now I will play.
I guess since the other Superman died, I'll just go ahead and jump up. Why were you still here? I don't know. Manhattan couldn't affect me somehow. What? Who's Manhattan?
Escape the blue dog of justice.
Yeah, no, DC is one of those, like, I love DC comics a lot of the times, but, like...
They make you say why.
Yeah, it's like...
A lot.
I talk about it with Marvel, where, like, I'll read Marvel stuff, and, like, I'll try to, like, give a synopsis of what's going on, and it sounds like I'm taking crazy pills. But then, you know, like, while reading it, it's awesome. But DC, it's like, I'm reading, and I'm like, I'm taking crazy pills. Then I try to describe it to someone, and I can't. I can't do it. Unless it's Batman. But anyway, moving on. Like, so now we can actually talk about some comic books here. This portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Phenomenal human beings, all of them. Check them out, especially for all of your comic book needs. But if you just want to check out and visit, they've got awesome coffee. Detective Comics 1000 is going to reveal the new Detective League. So I guess this will be another Justice League, but of detectives. And here's the roster, folks.
Do they have badges?
They probably. Probably. We got Detective Chimp, Martian Manhunter, Hawkman and Hawkgirl, Ralph and Sue Dibny.
Who?
Dibny.
The elongated man and his wife.
No clue.
Yeah, he stretches. He's like Plastic Man, but different.
Okay.
But not a criminal.
Right.
Okay.
And
also apparently not a borderline god.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with Plastic Man at this point. And then you've got Sue as his wife, and last time we heard from Sue, she got woman in a refrigerator.
Well, that's unlucky.
That's the comic book thing for like a female character dying to progress like a male character's story.
No.
They just call it that because Green Lantern, I think. Because I think it was a Rainer story. Like, his girlfriend died, got shoved in a refrigerator.
I don't remember. I know the term. I just don't remember where it started.
I want to say it was Rainer's girlfriend got shoved in a refrigerator, and that started
that
it.
And that's why he's the greatest Green Lantern.
In spite of it.
Exactly. You still care.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Ralph and Sue Dibny.
Yeah, that was the last time we saw Sue. She's back to, like, Ralph and Sue were both dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're back to life. There for a hot minute, they were, like, dead man-esque. They could, like, take control of bodies.
Huh.
But now they're just back to life. But we don't know how or why.
Yeah.
At least I don't. I
If you think too hard, it'll make your head hurt.
Yeah, I've also been like out of most DC comics for a while. Like even Batman, I'm like 3 or 4 issues behind on now.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I've been a little better about keeping up than Asa. But anyway, so yeah, we got Ralph and Sue Dibny. We've got The Question. The reason they brought Ralph Dibny back is obviously because of the Flash TV show. Like, it's got to be.
Maybe. I don't.
Because, like, that's
somehow. I just don't think those shows do enough to really kind of play with the actual continuity of the comics.
No, they don't.
I didn't realize that they were moving the needle like that. Which, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but.
Because if you look at Marvel, like, Iron Man never sold better than after that first movie came out.
Right.
And, like, it's happened with several other Marvel properties, and so Marvel has pushed, you know, comic book characters kind of with the movie characters that are coming out. So it wouldn't surprise me if DC sees that and they're like, people actually did like Elongated Man and Flash. We didn't think it was going to happen, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're really pushing. I know they did that with, like, Black Lightning has been showing up a whole lot more in comics.
Oh, yeah, because
thanks to that TV show.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the Saturday Night Live bit.
No, I think he was doing stuff with, he was doing stuff with Batman, too.
Yep. Yeah, he was
in Detective Comics.
Yep. Because I remember seeing that, and then like he actually got added to.
When's Green Arrow going to show up on Detective Comics?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, so I'll finish this list here. The Question, which awesome. I'm glad to see that guy's getting work again. Yeah. Slam Bradley. If anybody has heard of that,
which is not Dalton's wrestling name.
It needs to be now.
Well, no, it's obvious it's copyrighted, and I am trying to catch a case.
It's old enough, it might not be anymore. Yeah, no, if anybody's ever heard of Slam Bradley, hit me up on Facebook, because I had to look this one up.
So he can call you a liar.
Yeah, I want to know, like, if anybody has heard of Slam Bradley. He's an old-school detective from, like, some Golden Age DC comics. So, yeah, it might not be copyrighted anymore. I presumably Batman, like he's in the picture. I don't know if he'll actually be in this league. I feel like they wouldn't put Batman in a fourth league, but I mean, it's Batman, and that's
somebody would needs not to sell surprise
books. Yeah, me. No, they wouldn't put Batman in 4 books.
Then hold on,
he wouldn't
4 leagues. He's already in 5, like 5 I books.
Mean, yeah, no, they wouldn't. They definitely wouldn't. You can't oversaturate.
He's
Batman.
An overachiever.
They basically turned him into Wolverine. He does have a superpower now. Mm-hmm. It's multitasking.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, that's the team.
It's an interesting team. I think this is going to depend greatly on what kind of stories that they want to tell, because all of these characters do legitimately have, aside from Slam Bradley, because that's another one that I just genuinely do not know. But like Hawkman and Hawkgirl have roots in detective work and like investigative journalism, depending on what like life that they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nudity you're looking
right
at.
Because they do, like, especially this one where they're constantly just working to find each other.
Yep.
And solving that mystery.
And Hawkman is that now like sense. He's been an archaeologist now for years. Yeah. Which makes a little bit more sense.
The Question has always just been a straight up detective. Yes. Detective Chimp also has always just been a pretty much a straight up.
His name is Detective Chimp.
But like, I mean, supernatural.
Is he just a legit monkey in a trench coat?
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like Sherlock Holmes.
He's dressed like Sherlock Holmes.
But he's a chimp.
But he's a
chimpanzee.
Okay, fair enough.
Martian Manhunter also.
Self-explanatory.
Well, I mean, he's got the Manhunter name, but even his... oh, I'm totally blanking on his human name.
Johns with a Z.
Yeah.
Well, his name is John Johns, but he goes by like John Jones or John Johns.
Yeah.
It's been different in various places.
He's worked
numerous aliases.
He's been an investigative journalist. He's been a detective. Like, they play with his human identity regularly.
Yeah.
Ralph has, you know, especially if you're just going by the Flash TV show, if they're just going to bring him in and pretend like their past history hasn't really been a thing.
Which, yeah,
you
like,
know, he's a private investigator. So, like, it makes sense, but but on the one hand, like, Hawkman going after detective work kind of seems like showing up to a water balloon fight with a hand grenade.
Yes. Like, Hawkman and like, Hawkgirl.
Yeah, that's hard overkill for those characters. But then at the same time, like, the Dibnys and the Question trying to do, like, some world-saving stuff. It's like, nope, okay.
I
now you're
mean,
going
I
to the hand grenade
make
fight with
a
water
joke
balloon.
About yep. Birdman attorney at law, but I won't.
Birdman. Yeah, no. Like, I. No,
so, I mean, I probably won't get it, but unless it turns out that it's like phenomenal. But it's, I mean, it sounds interesting.
It's going to depend a lot on the creative team, which I couldn't find. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any, like, it may be a while before we even see this book. Like, they may just be inside Detective Comics.
I was going to say, did they announce it as an ongoing, or is it just going to be like at the end of each issue of Detective Comics, there's going to be like a little second issue?
Or it could just be Detective Comics moving forward, like Batman and this crew. Like, they're
replacing. It better not be.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if they were replacing the Bat family with these guys. I say the Bat family, the Gotham people that have been on that team. Surprise me if that was the case. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see. But anyway, also from DC, the Deceased event that we've been hearing about for a while. It's like Deceased, but it starts with DC. Get it? Because, you know, the comic book.
Really stretching for that one.
They will, in fact, be about zombies. That's been kind of the thought for a while.
Because they haven't done zombies in a while.
I think what happened is someone was talking to Bendis in the break room, and he talked about Marvel Zombies, and some high-level executive just walked by and heard that and said, zombie superheroes? We could
Why
do that.
Why haven't we done this?
Having no recollection of Blackest
Black
Night.
Yeah. Which the best version of zombie superheroes.
Yeah.
Again, that's somebody that, like, that's from somebody that enjoyed Marvel Zombies. Like, mm-hmm. Blackest Night was an awesome storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's happening. Greg Capullo released his cover, which is, you know, just a Batman punching zombie, like, policeman.
Which I'm on board. Like, if Greg Capullo's doing the art, there's a 30%, or no, that's way too low. There's a 60% chance I'm going to buy the book
just because Capullo his name's drawing on the zombies.
Cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now Capullo drawing zombies, and I liked how, like, metal, for as bat poop insane it was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Capullo is, I love Greg Capullo.
Mm-hmm. He has a very distinct style. But.
And it's like if Seth MacFarlane was good.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I said it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Shots fired.
In fairness, like,
because it does, it's, he very much scratches that edgelord itch.
Yes.
Especially with a book like Metal, where, because, like, even in, like, the base, like, Batman book and, like, Justice League and the other books that he's written that aren't, you know, super over the top, everyone has just kind of an edge to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, no, like, if Capullo is doing all the artwork for this and not just the covers, mm-hmm. yeah, and no, I'm with Asa, there's at least a 60% chance I'm picking up this book just for Capullo.
Mm-hmm. Number one for sure.
At the very least.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So with the last bit of DC news I got, Walmart is officially canceling the DC Giants books.
Woo!
We finally got them we judged with our wallets. Now we can go all find them on clearance for like $3 and now buy them.
I'm really glad that like everybody else also judged with their wallets too.
Same, because this very much could have been one of those things like, yeah, those three guys on that podcast weren't buying it. Good thing everybody else is.
No, so, and I will say it was an idea. I don't want to say good or anything like that. Executed in the idea of where they put it, because anytime you found it at Walmart, it was in like the trading card section. That's always where
I kept finding it.
Literally shoved up by the registers where Pokemon and baseball cards are.
You know how like you walk by that section, you're like, oh, okay, cool, and then you'll like look at the first 20 feet of that aisle when mm-hmm. it goes like 30 feet deep. No, all right, wait a minute.
Because
like,
it hits Yu-Gi-Oh.
15 to 20.
Because it hits Yu-Gi-Oh, and after Yu-Gi-Oh, there's nothing there that I care about.
It's like blind that. Bag it's, things.
It's
yeah.
in that section.
Stuff.
Like actual like baseball cards and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and that's where it was.
At least at our Walmart, that's where it was.
Most Walmarts were. I only know that because I'm all over the place. And every Walmart I go to, that's where they always were.
Yeah, because I've never seen them. Which, granted, I haven't looked in the trading card. Like, every once in a while, like, if I'm going to Target or something and it's, like, right there, I'll take a look and just see
them.
I'll see, like, what sets are out.
Yeah.
But I don't actively look anymore because that itch is strong.
So honestly,
I don't think I'm strong enough to resist like a trading card game that Jesse wants me to play and the Warhammer when that game comes out. I can't do it.
Yeah, no, it's probably good for my wallet that they moved him at Target because I haven't played Magic now in a while because Andrew stopped being really interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I could call Ben over.
Don't do that.
But anyway, yeah, no, like, anytime I go to Target, like, I go to Target for four very specific things mm-hmm. that are only at Target, and I have to walk by those cards every single time, and I'm like, I wonder what they got over here. And they just got a little couple of booster power. Oh, look at that. They got a new set out. That's cool. Anyway.
What cards are in the set?
Unlike whenever I worked at Hastings Dalton, can you buy a box of cards for me? Mm-hmm. Just a box?
Yeah, I give you cash.
Yeah, booster box.
Oh yeah, you always took care. Like, you always took care of me. You never didn't take care of me. What I'm saying is, like, you just
don't get me wrong. I would love to just drop money on a booster box Pokemon cards, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
I did it so that we could draft them. Like, I never wanted to buy them just to okay, not true. I wanted to open every single one of them. But no, I would buy them so that we could, like, draft them.
Because there was one time you asked me if I could buy two boxes. Yeah. And I was like, I can't. I'll get fired.
It was a set that I was very excited about.
Because the booster box is very much the every time you go into a microtransaction, like a loot box type thing where you're buying currency. And it's like, well, you can buy 100 coins for $5. But if you spend $100, you get like 100 extra coins as well.
Yeah, 20% more in coins.
Yeah, that's the booster box. Well, because it breaks down and it's cheaper per booster.
Right. Yeah, you can see the booster box is the you spend $100 and now you get like so many characters. Mm-hmm. You get 1,000 loot boxes. Oh,
now that I know the game that you were playing, sir,
Magic. Not anymore though. Like I said, it's been a long time.
I'm sorry, I ain't playing it.
Anyway, so this next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com. And Josh sent me an email. Looks like the exclusive on the upcoming History of Gaming episode is going to be right here on Nerd Up.
Ooh.
You'll get to hear about it here before anywhere else.
Ooh!
This month it will be Earth Defense Force.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's going to be a good show. That's a hot franchise.
That's one that I'm going to actually have to listen to. Because like it's such a balls insane franchise. Mm-hmm. Every time I see videos of it, it just looks insane, but I've literally never played one.
It has a ridiculously high or strong cult following.
One of the podcasts that I listened to, someone was breaking it down, and it essentially, like, either the newest game or the game that came before it, you end up actually fighting God.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Every time you see it, it's just giant ants and spiders crawling over a city, and then it escalates. So I'm very intrigued at this development.
Because I always remember whenever they would release a new Earth Defense Force game, like, I wouldn't hear anything about it. Like, I would get no marketing materials. Like, whenever I worked at GameStop, nothing about it at all. And then suddenly, like, the game releases. And
boom!
I've got, like, everybody coming and asking for it, and we only got two copies. So, like, they're gone. Like, I'm unfortunately sold out. What is this game? What are you people talking about?
Don't understand.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be this coming Wednesday. They're going to drop that episode about Earth Defense Force. Yes, Dalton, that was my foot.
I apologize.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure you were aware. So, yeah, and for the future, yeah, Josh is going to let me know what these shows are going to be so I can build up a little bit extra hype about them. So, yeah, Nerd Woo-hoo! Up exclusive. Find out what's going to be on those History of Gaming episodes right here.
That's awesome.
Yes, it's a good time. All right, Google is unveiling whatever video game project they've been working on coming up at the Game Developer Conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't revealed it. They've just revealed that they're going to reveal.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. At that conference, whatever video game project it is that they've been secretly, or not so secretly, I guess, working on for the past few months, they're finally going to give us information about it.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm definitely interested to know that. Also coming out of the GDC, looking like Microsoft is going to unveil their new consoles. So we'll finally get to know if they're doing that, you know, stream only system. We got a couple of code names, which were Asa,
Anaconda, and Lockhart. With Project Scarlet, is there?
I need to know why that broke, Lindsay.
I'm sorry, that's just terrible.
Did you just hear Anaconda? Like, is that what got you?
It's just terrible.
I mean, it's a code name. Yeah.
No, yeah, code names often are like they are
Dolphin.
Yeah,
like, Microsofts are always super edgy though. Well, except Lockhart.
Man.
Why?
Because why not?
But yeah, that's so the code. Yeah, we found the code names got released back or like leaked or whatever back in like December, I think. And so, yeah, now the rumor is that they may actually be unveiling them either as early as GDC or at E3.
Right. And then,
or vice versa, because I'm pretty sure GDC is before E3.
Yes. Yeah, it should be.
Because GDC is in March.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's way before E3.
Yep.
But yeah, so, I mean, both of these are potentially huge news, especially with Sony skipping E3 this year.
Yeah.
And for Microsoft to be able to announce their new generation of hardware unanswered is pretty crazy, especially considering just all of the hard work and goodwill that they are building towards rebuilding with gamers after the tremendous loss from just dominating the 360 era to just dropping the ball and shattering it. Like, it didn't even bounce back. It just shattered into a million pieces, so now they got to piece it back together bit by bit.
And honestly, they've glued that ball back together real well. Mm-hmm. Like, they have built back so much support from the community, and they've made, like, so many, like, consumer-positive moves.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Sony, who occasionally makes some consumer-positive moves.
After being dragged, quit kicking and screaming.
Yes. And, yeah, I feel like they're basically going to do exactly what Microsoft did. With like the PS4 stuff, because that's like this situation was completely reversed in the 360 PS3 era.
Mm-hmm.
So
they killed it in the PS2.
Yep,
way we're on top of the world. We can do whatever the hell we want.
And then yeah, the PS3 hit, and like people will pay $700 for this console. Then they didn't.
I mean, no, some of them did, just not as many as they wanted to.
No, oh, yeah, and it wasn't a while before people started adopting the PS3. Like they had to drop the price to $400 before people would finally start getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was $300. It was the $299. They released it with the Slim system, was in. They finally started actually moving consoles
because it was the because I had a PS3, but it was we bought it strictly for the Blu-ray player.
Because it was the cheapest Blu-ray player with or web-enabled Blu-ray player on the market.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that phrase was so hard for me to say.
Ah, that's fine. You've been around me.
Yeah, I got there. But anyway, yeah, no. It's they're just swapping again. Like, and I feel like Sony's gotten too comfortable. And at this point, like with hardware lasting as long as it does, like it's not a good idea to be dropping the ball right now.
Man, and I will say too though, like I feel like Sony remembers PS3. So part of me thinks that it may not be that big of a fall. Like they will eventually kind of, like they are taking steps now to kind of ensure that drastic of a drop doesn't happen.
Mm.
They are still making a lot of questionable decisions, especially when it comes to crossplay.
Yeah.
Because there was they talked about it on Kind of Funny a couple weeks ago, where it's like Sean Layden did an interview where he's like, no, we totally support crossplay. You just have to ask your representative to get in the beta for crossplay and it'll happen. Because he went on this huge, like, he did a big interview. I can't remember who it was, but, and then literally that day, someone's like, okay, well, I think it was Wargroove. We asked multiple times for crossplay and to be added, and we were outright told no. So, don't know what you're talking about. Which was a little bit of a black eye on that little news cycle there.
Yeah,
but
they were basically just like, I hope nobody calls us on this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they called us on it?
Well, damn.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
But yeah, but now we got, like, Xbox is, you know, you have crossplay with PC, which, of course, because it's Microsoft.
Yeah.
But then also just how well they're working with Nintendo is amazing, especially considering Nintendo's history of just like, no, we're Nintendo.
We keep our toys to ourselves.
That's it.
Yeah,
like, we don't care about whatever everyone else does. We're not trying to win the console wars.
Mm-mm,
we're just putting out the stuff we want to put out.
Yep. And actually, that brings me to some of my next news. First, Reggie Fils-Aimé has retired, or is retiring, from president of Nintendo of America.
Yep.
Doug Bowser stepping up, which this was hilarious when he got a job working at Nintendo
15.
Of America. Now it's even funnier that now Bowser
is in charge of Nintendo.
In charge of Nintendo of America.
I really liked his picture when he first got hired of it, like, in the office. And in the background on the shelf, Mario and Luigi were tied up with a GameCube controller. So because he's just leaning into it because you have to.
Well, and he should have also had Peach sitting on his desk.
Now there's going to be a plucky guy from the mailroom named Mario. I'll get to the top someday.
Now, somebody made the joke earlier today. It was like, man, Trump's president of the U.S., Bowser's president
of
Nintendo. What a world we live in.
But because he got hired on back in 15, I think, and is like already been promoted like twice.
Yeah. Apparently he's a solid employee.
Mm-hmm. Well, he used to work for EA and a bunch of other companies too. So he's like been in the game a long, long time. It's going to be so hard to replace Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie was not only just like seemingly as an executive, like he did a good job. Like we're not into the nuts and bolts of like Nintendo's business, but looking at, you know, the success of the Wii to the recovery from the Wii U to the Switch era. I don't know how much of that comes from the main Japanese office versus like what happens in America. But Reggie was always, he was the face of Nintendo.
Yeah.
You had Miyamoto, who, you know, is Miyamoto.
Right.
And then you have Reggie.
Yeah.
And especially for us in the U.S., definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Reggie was just that lovable face that we all got to see, like the this lovable, awkward, huge nerd.
He's always like the uncle that wants you to think he's cool, but like genuinely cares. And like his the video that he posted, like announcing the retirement, like to the people, was
touching.
It was super touching and like kind like weirdly emotional. Because, like, he isn't particularly, like, super charismatic, but he was, like, in his own way. Like, I don't know. It's just every time you saw him on stage, you could tell that he was actually happy to be there.
Yeah, no, he
wasn't just phoning it in.
Loved his job. Like, you could tell this dude loved working for Nintendo. Like, he loved these Nintendo products. He just seems like a good dude. And yeah, I'm going to miss him. Hopefully Dougie Bowser gets us taken care of too.
And it is, I think it also is really, really nice that he's not leaving Nintendo because of some sort of scandal or because he passed away or is like in bad health. Yeah, like he even points out, he's just like, I want to spend time with my family. And
yeah, I mean, he's almost 60. He likely has more money than like, he has enough money for his family to last a few generations, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and also the fact that like, whenever someone told me that he was like 60, I did not believe it. Man, looks amazing.
Yeah, I would not believe that in a second. Yeah,
no, he looks great for 60.
Mm-hmm. So that's super cool. Also, just to jump back real quick to touch on a couple other bits of the rumors for Google and Xbox. Apparently, Xbox Halo Infinite is rumored to be a launch title for the next round of consoles that they could be announcing at E3. And then with Google, no one really knows what that's going to be. They just kind of sent out that email about GDC. There's a lot of speculation that this could be a new console that could potentially even read discs with its own controller, whatever. It could just be a Chromecast-style thing you plug into your TV, and it is essentially a streaming service, because earlier this winter, back in summer? No. Whenever they tested out that streaming service with Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
This could just be a streaming service that they're offering for games.
Like the NVIDIA Shield kind of a situation.
That you just use with whatever controller you have at home already.
Yep.
This could be just a bunch of different things, so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
It could just be new mobile games.
Yeah.
It could be.
With some of the names, apparently, that have been hired by Google over the last few years, that would be very surprising.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more towards the Shield type situation where you're just streaming your library of games to whatever without the need of an actual like disc machine reader. You can just plug it into your TV.
Would make sense too. So yeah, we'll definitely update you guys when we get any kind of information about that. All right. And also just a little back on Nintendo for a second, get your grains of salt ready. Cause it's a big time rumor.
Hopefully you've had them ready the entire time. Reggie's retiring. We know that for sure. Everything else we've talked about video games so far is just
rumors.
Super rumor.
But this is like super duper rumor and you know, big, if true kind of a situation. We talked a little bit about a while back about like Xbox Live is hitting Switch.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know in what capacity, but we know that's happening. There's a big rumor coming that Xbox Game Pass is coming to Switch.
Doubt it.
Yeah, I know. I do too. But
see, I just go back to that person coming into GameStop that wanted the Super Xbox 3.
or the guy coming to GameStop. He wants Halo for his Nintendo.
Yeah.
And you know,
no, I need Mario on PS4.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. Now the TV wouldn't lie to me. Go to the what was that? The Retail Hell episodes for more information on that story. Anyway, yeah, the big rumor is Game Pass is coming to the Switch and Microsoft is actually working on ports of their primary titles, Forza, Gears of War, Halo. They're also talking about bringing like Cuphead and Ori over to the Switch.
Well, in from what I saw, the Ori thing was because that's already just part of Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So Game Pass, like, and it's, this isn't
think
like your
Cuphead is too.
I think it might be. I don't know. But it's the, I'm trying to think of the way to word this. It's not where you're actually like downloading and having, it's not the Switch running those games.
It's like streaming
it. It would be streaming it. So you're just playing on that screen. You could, you know, so that could be really interesting.
Yeah,
if it's true, it'd be kind of nuts. It wouldn't surprise me like as much as I think it might you guys, by the sounds of it. But like, it'll be really interesting to see the kind of relationship Microsoft and Nintendo are building and making, because there are a lot of games like Rocket League is on Game Pass. So how does that work if you're playing it on, you're playing it through your Game Pass account on your Switch, and then you go into the store to buy a new vehicle?
Yeah, are you going through the Xbox store, like the Nintendo one? Yeah. And yeah, that was one of the big theories on what exactly Xbox Live is going to be doing on the Switch is for games with crossplay, like the Fortnite or Rocket League or any of those kind of games, so that you can match up with people on your Xbox friends list, which, you know, would make sense. But yeah, like I said, we know nothing. This is a rumor. Apparently Nintendo and Microsoft are in talks about something at least along these lines.
I also feel like that's going to be, like, we're not going to hear anything about that official until E3.
Right.
Like, that's going to be their big, like, we get the, that, that's when we'll see the announcement of either, if Reggie's, I don't know when E3 is. So either, like, it might be Reggie, it might be Bowser at this point, is on the, they take the stage during the Xbox presentation to announce, oh, by the way, Steve from Minecraft is the new is going to be the next DLC character that comes out for Smash.
Or Master Chief.
Yeah, or no. Like the Master Chief clothes, the Master Chief Steve skin from Minecraft, because that's the big rumor too. Or vice versa, where it's Phil Spencer shows up at the Nintendo stage
to announce Master Chief and Smash.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my new main.
Just Master Chief.
Doesn't matter how bad. Doesn't matter how bad it is.
Does it count? Does Steve wearing the Spartan armor count?
No, it does not.
Okay.
And I will not play that character.
But what? But it's a Spartan armor.
But if it's Master Chief,
like full on Master Chief.
Full on Master Chief. Yeah.
What if it's Master Chief cosplaying as a Minecraft character? And
stop asking me questions. If it's Master Chief, I'm playing it. all right, we'll spend the last few minutes here talking about Anthem, because that's dominated the news cycle in video games for the last several days, well, actually, last
like
week, because
weeks.
it hit early access a week ago. Yeah, it was last Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it hit early access. So, I mean, we played early access last Monday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been available to most people for over a week. It came out to the general public on Friday. Asa and I have already put about 25 hours into the game,
mm-hmm.
not including like the early betas and demos.
Right.
And basically everything you find on the internet, it's one of three things. It's this game is atrocious, tips on how to beat this part of the game, or why are you people enjoying this game?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
and then if you go to the Anthem subreddit, it's, this game's amazing. What's everybody talking about?
Yeah. there are two pretty legitimate gripes about the game that are out there, and I will confirm.
Mm-hmm.
The load times, not great.
They're atrocious.
They are real bad. Apparently, this is part of the fix for the infinite load screens. So presumably, this is something they're working to fix.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this so that they would get rid of the infinite load screen so you actually could play the game. But even like Angry Joe posted, and I can't confirm that, like, it's, I didn't feel like it was this bad on Xbox, but he did a mission where load screens were longer. Like, he spent more time in load screens than he did actually playing the mission.
Someone did a thing where it was like going from free play back to the Forge to equip something to go back into free play was 7 minutes.
Jeez. I feel like it wasn't that long when we did it.
It was a long time.
It was a long time. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I timed the load screen a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think on average, the load screens are 45 seconds to a minute on the 1X.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at that and I feel, because I would think that on my PC, it would be significantly quicker. Like, it should, there should be a difference in load time.
Well, apparently they're actually worse on PC.
That's, yeah, and that's what I've heard. Like, my load times are on par on PC with, like, I've got a really nice solid-state hard drive. Ben's got an even better one,
mm-hmm.
and the load times are right around equal on PC versus Xbox, at least the One X. I can't speak about the One S. I don't know, because everybody I know that's been playing it has been playing it on a One X.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, which leads me to believe that it is something like server-side that's causing it,
mm-hmm.
like something that they are actively doing to, like I said, mitigate that infinite load screen. Because I feel like back in the beta, and Asa, you can confirm or deny this because I don't remember completely. I might just be making this up. But like whenever we got load times, what we're experiencing now,
mm-hmm.
The way I remember it, that was when we were sure that we were going to get hit with an infinite load screen. Otherwise, the load screens weren't that bad.
I honestly don't really remember. I just remember keeping track of the jump, and then if it stopped at, you know, that 95%, mm-hmm. or if it inched up to that 95%, we were going to get stuck on it.
Yeah, because I remember the
load screens being like very long when they did work, but because that's been an issue since the beta.
Yeah,
and it is one that hasn't necessarily been.
Well, yeah, like I said, I just remember like whenever it. I distinctly remember saying, like, oh, this is taking too long. We're probably about to get hit with an infinite.
Yeah.
Because I remember that phrase happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, it would inch up to the 95 mark and then just stop. We'd have to restart the game, go back in.
Yep.
Which was a pain. So, yeah, no, the load screen's a legitimate gripe. Hopefully they're working on it, and it won't be so bad, in the coming months.
And it's a bummer, too, because it's all, like, just the same still image. So, like, when they already give you the animation of your javelin, like, being assembled or whatever like that, like
yeah, you're
why isn't that part of the
prepared.
Load screen? Or yeah. Someone on Reddit even posted like, hey, why don't you just put codex entries
oh, that would
on
be
there
awesome.
Instead
just
of just the same
the...
five tips and yeah. background. Oh, here's a picture of a scar. Yep, sure is.
Which took me a while to actually see like the anatomy of the scar. I was like, man, that thing's face looks real weird. And they're like, oh no, it's a bug.
Yeah.
I get it now. that makes the voice lines make a lot more sense. But anyway, you know, like outside of the load times, like the mission structure can be a little wonky. And I didn't really realize that it was like the reason it was wonky until we were playing with Dalton. And Dalton's trying to catch up with me and Asa, so he's not really like paying much attention to the story or what's going on. He's just kind of pressing A to skip through because he just wants to play with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, yeah, completely fair. So like at that, like he got to points where he's like, I have no idea where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, I distinctly remember like, you know, in the voice lines, it told you, oh yeah, you just go talk to this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's no like text after that.
Right. Like, yeah, there's nothing that, like if you just skipped all that storyline or all that story information, like the dialogue, like I could see you getting lost pretty easy. And that is a problem.
I mean, they usually have the marker.
Right, but the marker
follow.
For like that situation, like the Dalton situation in particular,
mm-hmm.
Yarrow didn't have a different marker on him.
Yeah, there wasn't a marker. Like there was a marker, but it was just like a voice bubble marker.
Yeah,
it was just someone you can go talk to this
yeah,
person.
Yeah, it wasn't like a glowing okay. red, hey, go here, dum-dum.
Because
yeah.
it's like Tana says, go talk to Yarrow,
yeah.
like in the voice line. So yeah, there's a ton of people. Like if you went and talked to everybody, eventually mm-hmm. you'd hit Yarrow, which is what me and Asa did, but we knew like from like listening to Tannis or whatever her name is. I think her name is Tannis.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to Tannis talk, Tannis was like, go talk to Yarrow. So we talked to Yarrow, we got our next mission, we played it, whatever, and we moved on. And then yeah, like I remember the exact same thing happened when I was playing with Kevin. Kevin's just kind of skipping through the dialogue
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, I have no idea where to go right now. I was like, yeah, go talk to Yarrow.
yeah.
I'm pretty sure, and he's like, who's Yarrow? Bald guy down the stairs, Russian guy. And then yeah, we did some quests and you know, we got it taken care of. But yeah, no, like the mission structure is a little wonky because it's not as straightforward as like your World of Warcraft or anything like that, where you just like there's the exclamation point over their head, you go talk to that person.
Talk to me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that is part of the game though, is they want you to be immersed in that world. They yeah. want you to know like and I'm not one to defend like a developer saying this is how you should play the game, but it's a BioWare game, so you kind of need to expect it.
Yeah, because I mean, I even saw like one of the articles I saw that I really agreed with was like BioWare delivers yet another game where we have characters that we would die for. Just kidding, but you know, not really. Because like I love Owen with all of my heart. Like he's a wonderful little person. I mean, like all of these storylines I'm interested in
mm-hmm.
and like, yeah, they put a lot of work into it and a lot of effort into it. And yeah, like I agree that, you know, you should be like paying attention to the stuff. They put a lot of work into it and it's actually really well done.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, yeah, I'm with Asa. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to enjoy a game.
Right.
So, you know, play it however you want. Like it's a looter shooter and people basically are wanting, like, they just want to go out, kill stuff and get stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Like go do that. But then, yeah, they have trouble advancing in the story because they're just like skip, 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 skip.
The only other real complaints that I have with the game are it doesn't do a good enough job of explaining its mechanics at all.
Especially outside of the Ranger. If you're in terms of like class, like how they play?
No, I mean like when you get a new piece of gear and it has all those little like plus percentage to this buff, like with the little symbols. Don't know what the symbols mean. It doesn't explain like primers and detonators at all. You just kind of I know what they are because I've been excited for this game for months and have been watching YouTube videos where they explain it like with the developers. But there's mm-hmm. nothing in the game to say like, hey, so this thing primes the enemies, like, so you cover them in acid and they start burning away, and then your left bumper ability explodes it and causes a combo with lightning type deal. It just tells you this is a primer, this is a detonator. What do those do? Figure it out. And it's not hard to figure out, at least that part of it.
Yeah, because like at least like most of the gameplay, like one of the things that I will give this game a whole lot of credit for, pretty much everything feels extremely intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
There's some weird like word choices and stuff that go on. Like a lot of the stuff about recharge rate, I'm not completely positive what that's like.
It reduces your it reduces the recharge rate. Okay, so does that mean it makes my recharge rate faster, or does it reduce?
Well, it reduces the recharge rate percentage.
Oh yeah. So does it recharge 20% faster, or does it?
Or does it?
Do I have to wait 20% longer before it recharges?
Yeah, it's not completely completely clear on that stuff, but yeah, I mean, it's still like I said, most of the game, like the flying especially, mm-hmm. like that part of my review anyways stays true to what I was talking about with like the early access and the betas. Like it feels
phenomenal.
Yeah, flying is super fun. Gunplay feels awesome. Anytime you use an ability, you feel like some sort of like crazy awesome action superstar hero.
Depending on the ability, because there are some abilities that are just empirically better than others.
True.
I don't understand why they included any abilities that aren't either a primer or a detonator. That blows my mind.
Yeah, because they have other advantages and stuff, but yeah.
Your combos are where you're doing your most damage. Mm-hmm. So, I wish there was a little bit more mission type variety. Because it's pretty much everything is either go to this place, kill this wave of enemies, go to this place, kill this wave of enemies, go to this place, kill this wave of enemies. Or go to this place, grab the orbs, deliver the orbs, repeat. Or my least favorite, go to this place, stand in this circle.
Yeah.
For an amount of time. Hey, we're giving you an Iron Man armor that you can fly around and do awesome stuff with, but don't do that. We need you to be in this radius.
So that you can charge the signal.
And if your general random like teammate decides, I want to go run around and get all the kills, then it takes even longer because the length of time you have to stay in the circle goes down a lot if all four of you are in the circle.
Yeah. Mm.
But if two people decide to just wander off on their own, it's literally half the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Sheesh.
So, yeah, no, there are definitely some improvements that the game could have. That said, like I said, Ace, and I put 25 hours in the game, not counting the...
Also, waypoints. How are there no waypoints in free play?
Oh, yeah. Like, it changes your drop-off in free play, at least. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, the waypoint system's kind of bad.
There is, and in that it's non-existent.
Yeah.
You have to pull up the map. Okay, I have to go southeast. And then just go southeast and hope that you went on the right side of the cliff.
Yep. All right, Dalton. I'm gonna ask you about Anthem real quick. Go ahead and give your experiences. Dalton jumped into this game with us, like, Thursday night, yeah.
I've put like 3 hours into it. I really like it, but like, yeah, no, the whole, and it would be different if I like started with you guys, but I'm not really super worried about the story as much as I just want to be in an Iron Man suit and wreck stuff. Because like, I don't care about storylines. Like Borderlands 1 was storyline, so it was just like, just kill a bunch of stuff.
It had a storyline, it just wasn't a particularly deep storyline.
All right, so I like shallow storylines. Especially
in
Kingdom
Hearts 3.
He wants his storylines really shallow or get stuck in a web. Like, he wants to go so deep down that hole, there's no coming back.
I'm a unique individual. But I really like I think the gameplay is a lot of fun. The way they do, they don't really describe a lot to you. Because that's the whole thing. Like, I played for like 2 hours, and Jesse's like, oh, press jump in your attack button. You'd be a little Beyblade of Doom, like.
And then Dalton jumped. Is like, oh, that was awesome. Like,
yeah,
right.
And then I became Troy from Community. I was like, I dare you find me traversing this world not doing that.
I challenge you. Yeah. So.
No, but I will keep playing it. Like, it's really fun. It's a beautiful game. I want to get my javelin to not look dirty. So like, I at least need to get to level 8.
I think it's like level 12.
Oh well, that's unfortunate for me. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I like it a lot.
Good. So yeah, definitely there's no real excuse not to at least try this game, because you can get a month of EA access for $5.
I need to cancel my EA access.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't have to, because mine was part of the free trial. Yeah, no, you can get a month of EA access for $5, and that gives you 10 hours of gameplay on Xbox. Obviously, PlayStation, it doesn't really help you with. So yeah, for PlayStation people, I'm really sorry. And PC, $15, you get the whole game for that entire month. So for an entire month, you get full access to the full game for $15. So
unlimited time?
Yeah, unlimited time on PC. But again, 15 versus 5. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, there's like I said, no reason not to at least give the game a shot. And it's not even a real big download. And it is super fun. Like,
and they have a really extensive post-launch
roadmap
of content they're putting out for free.
Because that's definitely my favorite part of it. We already have like at least 5 DLC packs dropping in the next 2 years for free.
Yeah, and like also it kind of feels like the I feel like we're earning coins at a pretty solid rate. Like we've already earned probably more than 40,000.
Yeah.
For a full set of armor, it's about 61,000.
For I'm like sure the epic quality armor sets.
I'm sure the economy is going to change. So that might, get nerfed a little bit, but I feel like we're earning that at a pretty decent clip, especially because they have this thing where the more you earn alliance bonus for coins every week. So the more like you have your top 5 friends who play the game online or who play the game, they as their tier increase goes up, then that increases the amount of coins you get from them.
Yep.
So your top 5 friends are essentially earning you coins and you're earning coins for your friends as well. So that's like, which is a super cool feature, I think. Yes. And when you play with friends, you earn extra of that. So,
yeah, I don't think there's anything in the store that you can't get with just coins.
Everything is either shards or coins, and you can buy. And there's not one that's exclusive to the other. That's one I'm willing to bet will change within probably the first year or so.
Yeah, because I know like they mentioned that if they ever release any more javelins, that will be the one thing that they charge for, like the one piece of content. So that'll probably be something that you won't be able to use coins or anything on. Like you'll have to use shards or just pay straight up like DLC style.
I don't know if this is true, but someone I'd heard somewhere that if you have X amount of shards and it's not enough to buy an emote or something, you can actually make up that cost in coins.
Oh, that's cool
too.
So it kind of mitigates the predatory nature of
you can't buy $7.50 worth of shards. You either have to buy 5 or 10. And everything costs $7.50.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Which is, super shady. But if that's true, which again, I can't verify that because I haven't put any money into the game. But that's a neat workaround to that.
Yeah, no, that's kind of cool because, they got $20 extra out of me in the because I bought the Legion of Dawn. Everybody at this table minus Lindsay did.
But Shannon did.
Shannon did too, yeah.
Fair enough. It still came out of my bank account.
It did.
So Lindsay did buy the Legion of Dawn. Everybody at this table.
It's fine. All right.
That's going to do it for our show. Definitely check out Anthem, guys. It legitimately is a lot of fun. I know the internet's been hating on it hard. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of those people also are just like, there's no endgame content. I've already put 90 hours into the game and I'm bored. You put 90 hours into something that's been out for, a week, maybe two if you have the...
Did you shower?
The Origins.
Did you eat?
They didn't, and
have
they
you
did.
Slept?
So, probably not.
If you don't go super... If you're not going, like, crazy hardcore into it, like we kind of almost borderline did. Because even Dalton was like, man, I feel bad that you guys can't progress in the story. And we're like, please don't, because it's probably not a bad thing that we have to take a break from progressing. Because this is one I kind of want to take my time with.
Yeah.
Like, I might jump on a little bit tonight when I get home just to... screw around in free play, but
because this was one of those things, like I was playing with Kevin, he had kind of the same thing. He's like, I could just jump in with you and you can keep going with your story stuff. Like, no, back up,
we'll progress you.
I'll get you up to me. Like, it's fine. I still get, because I got several epic items just playing with Kevin, like in the intro missions, and it does scale you down, so it's not like World of Warcraft where I'm just like, or Diablo where I'm like this marching like
death
parade
of
death.
Well, I mean, WoW has changed that as well.
Yeah, that's true. They did change a lot of
like
the scaling
Destiny
stuff.
Was like that, where it's like if Jesse's trying to get me caught up to him, it's pretty much he's babysitting me and carrying.
Plow.
It's like, okay, well, I'm down. It doesn't matter because I'm throwing pebbles at these space monsters and.
Yep. Versus, this game, like,
so
everything
scales.
It actually weakens
you. It brings you down to their level, which I think is a genius move.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're not the first ones to do it, but that's my favorite way of doing it, is to make everyone feel balanced, especially because there is no PvP.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, on top of that, like I said, I did a mission with Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
You got
your Mastercraft.
And I got another Masterwork, which, it's you can still get, like, the same kind of loot that you would get like obviously there's probably more chances for better loot at the higher levels. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you have a friend that's, you know, only level one or something like that, well, they would have to be level three, I guess, before you can join in with them. Regardless,
I was like level six.
You can jump in with them and play with them, and you can still get rewards and stuff for it. Even the experience is still pretty decent.
Yeah,
like yeah, it's fine. Like it doesn't feel like a waste of time to be helping your friends.
Which is a great way of doing it.
Yeah, because that makes your friends that you're helping not feel like crap because they're just dragging you down, or like it doesn't make you feel like crap because like, well, I could be like, you know, furthering my character. You're doing both,
and also they don't feel completely useless playing. Yeah. You know, playing it's because yeah. That's the thing that I hated about Destiny so much is it's just like there's no point in me even playing right now. Like I should just put down my controller and let you finish the mission.
Yeah, definitely. In that one, that one part when we started getting going, mm-hmm. That was bad. So anyway. Give that game a shot, guys. We're going to head out of here, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you for tuning in, and see you guys later.